from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How you doing?
I'm good. You know what? That hour went fast.
It did.
Wait. It was like a roller coaster ride, right? Started off rough.
And then you say it was rough like, because we were tackling some tough topics.
Yeah, it was a combination or something like that. That top five was tough. That was a brutal. That news right there was like, ugh. Then it was the weather and it was a Monday. It was just we had to do it. But the top five was just it was tough. Sometimes I can admit when there's news that we cover, I'm a human, right? So it kind of get to me a little bit. And some of that news it kind of got to me, especially talking about the. Officers pulling over to stop other people, and she lost her life behind it. So yeah, it was tough for sure. But right now, we have a guest, Ursula.
We do, and one of the things that I want to make sure that our listeners know is we are committed to letting you in on who is running for different positions, in particular, Seattle mayor and city council, because these are critical votes coming up this fall.
Who will be Seattle's next mayor?
I can hear you.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
And joining us now is Colleen Echohawk, the former executive director of the Chief Seattle Club and one of 15 candidates to be your next Seattle mayor. It is a crowded field, but so far she's one of the leading fundraisers and is considered one of the front runners in the race. Good morning, Colleen. I think we're having some technical issues. Good morning, Colleen. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. So it is clear that so many of us who live in Seattle want change, and you are promising a people-first approach at City Hall. What does that look like?
That's right.
And how is that different from what we've already been doing?
Well, a people-first approach means that we look at the people in our community and find ways to truly support each other, which in my view right now means that we support some of the folks who are the most vulnerable in our community, who are having a huge impact on everyone, and that's our homeless community. Our homeless community has been struggling for many, many, many years now, and we now know that it's been almost 6 years since we declared a state of emergency, and the crisis has only gotten more severe. For the past 7 years, I've been working in homeless services. I'm a board member of the National Coalition on National Low Income Housing Coalition. And I know that we can do better. I am so angry and frustrated that this has continued for so, so long. So that's why I'm jumping in this race. I think that if we serve our homeless community, get them inside, out of the rain, our business community can succeed. Our parks can be used by everyone. We can live and thrive in this city so that it makes sense for everyone. And so I'm jumping into this race with a lot of excitement because I know that we can do better.
You're an executive director of a nonprofit that focuses on housing development and human services. And what's the biggest problem that stands out to you when you see efforts out there by the city to address homelessness? What stands out to you that you don't like?
Oh, I mean, so many things. But I think the number one thing is like lack of coordination, lack of a real plan. You know, we can all do our part, you know, all the different homeless providers and folks, we're all doing our part. Well, you know, a lot of us are trying to build housing and we're trying to meet the specific cultural needs of communities. But without a lack of a centralized plan, it has been so hard and so frustrating. I have been a big supporter and still am a big supporter of the Regional Homeless Authority. This is not just a Seattle problem. This is a regional situation, and I look forward as mayor to working hand in hand with partners I've already been working with when I led the All Home Coordinating Board. The mayors of, you know, Auburn and Shoreline and Bellevue and coming together to find a cohesive real plan that we can communicate to everyone. I think the other issue I've had over the years is like no one knows what's going on, even in our communities. Like there's no strong communication from the mayor's office or from a regional group saying, this is what the plan is to our neighbors to our residents. I think they deserve that. You know, I have been talking to people all over the city, and the thing that people tell me over and over again is, Colleen, I care about the homeless community. I feel bad for them. I want to support them, but I don't know what to do. And it's not, and I feel concerned that my child is walking by someone who's like, you know, shooting up in a park. And that is not good for anyone. I have children. I don't want them to have to see that. And that person who's shooting up in the park, that's not, they don't like that. That's not good for them either. So we have to be, there are solutions that are out there. We need to have the right kind of leadership to get us moving. And that's why, again, I'm jumping in to run for mayor.
Okay, Colleen, sorry, just real quick, because you mentioned the centralized plan. You want a cohesive, real plan, and you want better communication. Mm-hmm. What else specifically can you say that you would do as mayor that is not currently being done right now, where people could see a real – and you mentioned the business community, and the business community is hurting too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you cannot, it will be very hard for downtown to come back if we're having to walk over human feces. And imagine that person who is having to use the bathroom on a public sidewalk. How did we get to this place, you guys, where we have we've allowed such, humanitarian crisis to happen on the streets of Seattle? And under my administration, the one very, super like super like concrete thing that people should know is that we have a 22-point plan to bring everyone who's outside inside in 14 months. This is based on best practice. This is based on my experience and the experience of other successful leaders in this field. And I think that that is really what sets me apart right now from other folks who are running for mayor. I invite people to look at my website and see the plan, because we have an actual concrete plan for how people can get involved. And one part of our plan is a volunteer action corps. You know, having people come in who, you know, maybe you're retired and you're you've been a social worker. We need you. You know, maybe you're a nurse and you have time to support this community. We have plans for you to get involved and our whole community to just jump into this, including the business community. I cannot wait to be talking to our business community to see how they would like to be involved in supporting our community as we move towards bringing everyone who's outside inside and stopping this humanitarian crisis.
This is the voice of Colleen Echohawk. She is the candidate for mayor of the city of Seattle. She joins the G and Ursula show. I want to go back and talk about, you said the lack of coordination and the lack of a real plan. And there's a lot of us that heard you say that, and we don't disagree with you. Okay.
Sure.
So when you talk about the lack of coordination and the lack of a real plan, and so now your idea would be like you would have a specific plan to put in place. Okay. Would that involve more money from the community? Would that involve more time? What does that look like for all of the people that are going to decide if they're going to vote for you? What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, I think the number one thing I want to help people understand, it looks like us doing the moral and just thing. I think it is immoral. I think it is horrific that we have, as a community, had all have to endure this. I don't know about you, but when I see an encampment on the side of the freeway, and I know that, you know, accidents happen, and I'm afraid for everyone. I'm afraid for that person in the car. I'm afraid for that person in the tent. We all are like kind of on pins and needles and cringing that we have gotten to this place. And the number one thing I want people to know is there is hope. We can bring people in. Over the through the pandemic, I worked with some wonderful partners at the PDA. We took entire encampments. We did the outreach. We spent about a week and a half, sometimes 2 weeks, doing the outreach. And we took entire encampments and moved them into hotels together, because a lot of times they're a community. We understood their specific needs. We helped them move into these motel rooms, hotel rooms, and help them get settled and help them move on to the next thing in their life towards wellness and security and stability. And, you know, the number one question people or request people had once they got settled with the group that we are working with, the number one request It wasn't for more food or for more socks or shampoo. It was for medically assisted treatment. Because the moment they had that door that could lock behind them and they could take a shower and use the bathroom and they could sleep without fear of someone, you know, hurting them or attacking them, they were able to just chill out for a minute and realize how terrible and how hard it is to be addicted to drugs and to alcohol and to other substances. So we know that when we move these folks into housing, that it helps people get stabilized enough to get to the kind of next support that they need. Housing first works. Seattle was one of the cities that helped pioneer this around the country. We know it works. We just have not had the political will and the right kind of leadership to actually make it happen.
Colleen, what is your position on those who are living outside, who are experiencing homelessness, who refuse to get that help? You talked about, you know, needing to get them indoors within 14 months.
Sure.
What is your position when they absolutely don't want that? They don't want the help. They refuse treatment.
Right.
And just a part two on this, what is your take on Compassion Seattle, which is that amendment to the city charter to spend more money on housing?
Sure.
And
sure.
To keep the parks and public spaces clear of these encampments.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go to the second part first. Compassion Seattle is born out of anger and frustration that we have been allowing a humanitarian crisis. It's kind of part of the reason that I'm running for mayor. We're all just like so frustrated that this has been allowed to continue. And so I appreciate that there is that, you know, urgency. I appreciate that people are talking about it and saying that this has to change. I think that I want to invite people to look at my website. Compassion Seattle does not go far enough. It doesn't have a concrete plan behind it. And so I am really excited about implementing my plan. It's the only plan that's out there that's concrete. It's the only plan out there that has had, you know, proven leaders behind it who know how to work and with our homeless community. Because to answer your first question, I have been doing this work for a very long time. I have met maybe a handful of folks who are experiencing homelessness who do not want to go inside. And the thing is that we haven't been offering the right kind of option for our homeless community. Let me give you an example. If you are an elder, and let me tell you, I know elders who are 70, 75 who are sleeping in big shelters. They need some special support. They need to be in a place maybe where they're with other elders and not sitting, you know, not laying on a mat on the floor next to a 20-year-old, you know, who's dealing with a substance abuse issue. That is uncomfortable for them. They're scared. They're frightened. And they would rather sleep outside than that kind of shelter. But if you offered that person a tiny home, if you offered that person a hotel room, they would go so gladly and with tears in their eyes to be able to go to some place where they feel safe. So we haven't had the right kind of options for people. Now there is, you know, a very, very small percentage of folks who might refuse. And those are folks generally who have brain damage, who are out there on the street with like, you know, their brain is hurt and damaged. So we will work with the Lived Experience Coalition, those folks who have been working with working with our homeless community and have experienced homelessness themselves, to understand how we can help those folks who have, you know, severe brain damage and innovate. That's the other thing I want to remind people. We have not had the leadership to innovate and create the new kinds of programs that we absolutely are going to need. I want to be very clear about this. I have a concrete plan, but part of that plan is to be asking our community to innovate. I have people coming up to me all the time saying, Colleen, I've got this kind of idea and I've got this kind of idea. And I think, great, we need those new ideas because we have 5,000 plus people who are sleeping outside. We have babies who are sleeping in tents. That is unacceptable to me. And we have to have the creativity, innovation to get them inside.
Well, communication, I think that we all can agree, mm-hmm. is going to be a big deal. You've talked about the lack of plan,
yeah.
coordination. Well, communication lately between City Hall or with law enforcement, how do you plan on addressing the communication mm-hmm. issues when it comes to the city, law enforcement support, mm-hmm. and all of that. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, number one, Jean Ursula, I was reading your bios, and you seem like incredible people. So I hope you have me back on when I'm mayor so we can talk about this. And I will be a mayor that's incredibly accessible to media, to our community-based organizations, who I think should be leading this work much more than they are allowed to now. And my team will be as well. Part of our plan is to make sure that we have regular communication with all constituents. I think it's unfair that our community has ask questions after questions and have not gotten real answers from our city government. So we will have a whole communication strategy and plan that we will be implementing so that there is no question. The other thing is we will have a dashboard so that people can go to the dashboard and see how we're actually doing and holding us accountable and ensuring that we're getting the work done. You know, this crisis that we're having right now is the reason why I'm running for mayor. It is the reason, because this has been allowed to go on for far too long. And the people who are sleeping in those tents or sleeping on the sidewalks, they're suffering. And let's be clear, our neighborhoods are suffering.
Yeah.
Our community is suffering. I have lived in this city for 24 years. I love it. I love the people who live here. I love our parks. I love how we are as a city, and I am ready to get in there and help us find the solutions that we need. And part of the solution for me will be being clear about what the plan is, communicating as much as we possibly can, so that we all begin to feel that we are part of the solution.
Colleen,
I believe that
just
this
Colleen,
city is
Colleen,
a,
sorry, yes. Just because I want to ask one more question, it's very
sure.
important. We're out of time. But
sure.
And we haven't. I mean, I can hear the passion about the homelessness crisis, mm-hmm. and that is sure. the reason you're running, and that is loud and clear. But there are so mm-hmm. many other problems, including this dysfunction
Absolutely.
At City Hall, and also the problems within our Seattle Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
With the,
yeah.
I'm sorry, we've got 90 seconds. If you could say
sure.
what it is that you would do to address that, there is, it is a bad relationship. At City Hall,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are frustrated. What would you do?
Absolutely. I think this is another reason why we need a new generation of leadership at City Hall. I have been a community police commissioner for 4 years, and I can tell you that as a commissioner, as part of the reform plan of the consent decree that happened, we have largely been ignored. We the community police commission should be in a part of the solution, part of the civilian oversight that is part of the federal consent decree. As mayor, I will be communicating with the Community Police Commission as much as possible. As mayor, I will work with the City Council, and I will hold our Seattle Police Officers Guild accountable to the reform that absolutely must happen in our city. The contract that is coming up has to be negotiated by someone, I think, who did not negotiate the last contract. You know, the community very, very clearly said this contract will push back the reforms that we've been working on for so long, that that were born out of such agony of the killing of John T. Williams and other police brutality. And it was pushed back. And our city council and our mayor, they voted for that contract. I will be a mayor that works hand in hand with our community, with the Seattle Police Department, with our council, and bring us together to be the kind of city that we want to be, a city that says we will not stand for biased policing. We will not stand for militarized policing, but we will be a community that takes care of each other, that supports each other, and that emphasizes public safety. I can't wait to resource our neighborhoods, to resource our community, so that we can be a city that is proud of our public safety and
Colleen.
Proud of who we are.
Yeah, and I hear
yes.
I hear you again, and we have run out of time, but I do want to point out too that in addition to one of the issues is that
mm-hmm.
police feel that they are not supported. So, yes, that there is reform that is necessary, but it sounds like the emphasis in your plan or what you've been talking about is
mm-hmm.
the reform part and fixing police where they feel at this juncture, and this will need to be a continued conversation, but I just want to make sure that I get that in there, too.
Yeah, invite me back, Chris. We'll have to talk about it. I'd love to. I think we have a much bigger conversation ahead.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Colleen Echohawk.
Thanks so much.
One of the candidates for Seattle mayor. It is 10:35. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show on Kyber Radio, and we are going to be calling an audible right now because we had a lot to talk about with Colleen Echohawk, one of the Seattle mayoral candidates. And even with 16 minutes, it's hard to get everything in that you want to. And she was very passionate about the homelessness crisis, which is, she should be passionate. We all should be passionate about it and have strong opinions about it because it is something that is dominating our lives right now.
Right.
But there were a lot of questions that were left unanswered, and I had some concerns, and I thought it would be good to talk about them now because I know you did too. So I'll let you start.
Well, first I want to start off with, and I know a lot of people are like, hey, ask about this, ask about that. And like you said, in 16 minutes, both you and I, our goal is to talk about probably the two main things that are probably, in our opinion, at least my opinion, the biggest crux of the problem of what's going on in Seattle. Homelessness is one of them, and I would say the communication between City Hall and police, because there seems to be a disconnection.
Well, call it communication. I call it dysfunction at City Hall. Out-of-control city council. Go ahead.
I'm trying to put some nice stuff on it. You can go all the way to dysfunction. I think you're right. I think you probably have addressed it better. And also just communication, if you will, with Seattle leadership and those in the city of Seattle. And so we try to talk about that. The one thing that is tough, is complex. We talk about it every single day. A lot of times we are talking about the problems, but there doesn't seem to be any solutions. And one of those I asked you, she said, there seems to be a lack of coordination, a lack of plan. And so you ask, what specifically would you do? And that's tough to, I think it was tough for her to really answer during that time.
Well, and she has it laid out in her website. You know, I think she said it was a 14-point plan, I believe. But a lot of it is stuff that we've already heard. So the things that I got from the interview were that she is not in favor of Compassion Seattle. And that is something that was proposed by all different stakeholders, including the business community. So she's not in favor of that. She is in favor, and you could hear the compassion in her voice.
She's clear.
And she has had some success, and she has worked with. But I think the focus, which has happened in so many cases with our city leadership, is that it's so heavily weighted toward one area without looking at the other part, which is what happens to the business community.
Right.
And then in the question, and in fairness, we didn't have enough time to discuss the police situation, but she talked about the brutality and the need for reform, et cetera, that we have talked about, and that is true. And you can say that reform needs to happen and changes need to happen, but you also need to be able to say, but we support our police. And right now there is this complete lack of support. We have a police department that doesn't even have enough officers right now, that has the lowest. They can't retain the officers. Everyone's wanting to retire early or leave to go to other departments because we have so much dysfunction.
Right.
So how do you bring those two things? And that's the part that, frankly, I'm, as a Seattle voter, I'm worried for her looking at it going, well, that's not convincing me that this is a candidate that would have a solution to bring sides together. We shouldn't be. We should be wanting the same things and working together toward a solution, not pitting one side against another.
My father, I hate to always refer to him, but he'd always say, champ, you got to always have your pitch to, or your elevator pitch together, because you never know who you might run into. And so you might run into that opportunity, somebody in your industry that you have a chance to say, You have 30 seconds to say what you want to say, or you may have 60 seconds to say what you want to say. What you can't say is, hey, go check out my website, because sometimes the people are listening now. And so they want to hear what kind of plan you have now. One thing that I also asked was, what specifically would you need from us to tackle this? Would it be more money? Would it be more time? What would that look like in this? And so, Ursula, I'll ask you, for the next mayor that comes in, do you think it's going to take and access more money to help with these problems that are happening, especially with homelessness in this area?
Before we ask for more money, I think we need to do better with the money that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first thing. So you have to have a plan. You have to have the buy-in of different stakeholders, which is why, for me, I'm excited personally about Compassion Seattle. I know the ACLU is not, but I look at it and I say there is the compassion component, yes. There is the effort to get them into housing, but there's also not ignoring the needs of businesses and people who live in communities where the communities are changed. And there is a way to address all those things without putting too much emphasis on one or the other. And that's what I'm looking for. And I know that, so we are going to continue having more of these conversations. We have already had several of the candidates on. We're going to bring them on again, but we haven't had Lorena Gonzalez. It's very hard to get a city council member to join our show, but we want to have her on. We want to have the other candidates. We're not going to get all 15, but the ones who are considered some of the front runners. And I say this because even if you don't live in Seattle, you have a stake in this. You listening right now, if you're in Bonnie Lake or you're in Snohomish County or you're in Kitsap County, the health of Seattle is really something that affects all of us in this region. So I think it's important, and we appreciate that Colleen Echohawk was able to jump on with us and share her very passionate views, and we hope to have more conversations.
Yep. Coming up next, it's time for Scenarios. We'll relax a little bit. It is the Gene Ursula Show. This is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Monday to everybody. Coming up at 11:06, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree. One of the questions is this: should you care what your pension fund invest in? We do that at Agree to Disagree at 11:06. But right now, it is time for Scenarios, brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
What is the formula for knowing whether an age gap is too big? I need help figuring this out. I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years. We met on a dating app and started dating when I had just turned 33. He was 39, or so he said. A few weeks ago, his mom dropped off a box of some of his stuff because they're moving and couldn't store it anymore. He wasn't home, so I started to pull a hurt Ursula and start putting things away.
You're editing.
That was
this.
Me. Okay, that
you
was me. I'm
that.
Sorry. I'm
no
sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, once again, Ursula, you caught me, okay? All right, let me get back to the story. A few weeks ago, his mom dropped off a box of his stuff because they're moving and couldn't store it anymore. He wasn't home, so I started putting things away and found his high school yearbook. Whoa, he's actually 9 or maybe 10 years older than he told me he was. He's either 48 or 49. He has no idea I saw this, and I don't know if I should bring it up. It's just age, right? And he doesn't act like he's almost 50. But this is incredibly dishonest. Dating a guy that's 6 years older than me, that's one thing. But 16 years? Wow. What should I do? 98973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you up to bat first.
First things first, she's worried about the wrong thing. It's not about the age gap. It's the fact that you're dating a liar. So that would be the first issue. So I would get right to the bottom of that one. And then, yes, you're going to have to admit that you were snooping around and looked around. But This is a young relationship, right? It's in its infancy.
Three years is not young. Three years.
Oh, no. He's been lying for this long? No. If you're going to be staying with this person, I'd first of all wonder what else is he even lying about. Secondly, this is going to have an impact when you get to those older years. It depends. Your age is going to depend on when you're going to retire, what that's going to mean, what that's going to look like, etc., if you're going to look at this in the long term. But that bottom line, it shows a lack of character. Why is he lying about it?
Chef, before you start making sense of this, I just want to just
throw in... I
think I
just made perfect sense of it.
You definitely did. But I just want to throw some things into it. I thought, isn't the older like we get, sometimes we kind of forget our age, like off about a year or two. It's never 10, though, Ursula? I'm just trying to make sure. Like, you know,
By the way, you know what?
Yeah.
I own every single minute, second, year, month, whatever. I am 55 years old and I'm proud of it. Why are we hiding our age? Ridiculous.
Okay, can I just one more thing? Maybe when he met her on a dating app, maybe that was kind of his thing, but then he fell in love. And then it was like I always tell you sometimes, Ursula, don't let facts and details mess up a good time.
Three years into it, you don't fess up and say, I'm actually 48 and 49.
Maybe he was going for the five-year mark, Ursula. Maybe he wanted five. All right, Chef, your turn.
I think you need to bounce out of this relationship.
No!
Yes. And it's not the age gap. And it's not even just the lie. It's the fact that you found out through a yearbook. I do not know how it is possible to go 3 years with someone without establishing that they are 10 years older for, like, their high school graduation date, like, things that they experienced in life to not come up in conversation. And you're like, wait a minute, that happened in the late 60s. How is it possible you're aware of those current events for you as a child? Like, it seems like your communication is so off that this would not come up prior is absolutely insane to me. However, if you do stick with him, just get ready for him to retire 10 years earlier than you were planning. He'll be all around the house. It'd be great for you.
Okay, hold up.
Yeah, I got one you
guys,
more thing, too.
You guys, wait. So, Chef said, are you saying, Ursula, are you saying dump him?
Yes.
Because everybody is... I am disagreeing with all of you. You, Chef, every listener.
He's a liar.
He told a little lie.
No, not a little one. That's a big one. Your age.
Okay. It's a big lie. But sometimes we got to stop with the... You ready for this? I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm getting in trouble.
Don't. Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Why are we doing this cancel culture?
It's called a sunk cost fallacy, G. Just because you're with someone for 3 years doesn't mean you should stick with them, especially since they've been lying the whole time.
Ursula's so mad right now.
I am so mad. That is just a complete misappropriation of that word.
I mean, Ursula, why are we... I mean, look, do you believe in second chances?
I believe in second chances. So, yeah, I guess we need to find out, like, what was the reason. But, by the way, let's go back to the very beginning, the first part of it. An age difference. So, she's 33 and he was 48. That happens all the time. Big dang deal. That happens all the time. It's not like 19 and 49. That's a bigger deal.
Oh, finally, I got to agree with G. I got one of you guys. Look, all I'm saying is this, right? Yes, it was a lie. Shout out to Durant. But yes, it was a lie. A lie is not good. I'm not justifying the lie. All I'm saying is this, ladies and gentlemen. Are we now going to say that we are ending relationships over a lie? By the way, what you might think is a big lie, I might think is a small lie. What I might think is a small lie, you might be a big lie. Lying is lying, period. So we can't just get to the point where we get rid of relationships over a lie. How'd that work, Ursula?
Honk if you've been married to G.
Okay. Coming up next, agree to disagree is G and Ursula.